I have with me a guest, Alex Norista. Oh, good. Alex is the Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. His popular publications have appeared in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, the Washington Post, and other major publications in the United States. And so I wanted to talk to Alex about immigration, the Great White Hope, President Trump, and open borders. Alex, thanks for coming on with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you. Alex, what is the Cato Institute about? What do you guys do exactly?
So we're a libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C. My colleagues and I research pretty much every public policy issue with basically four principles in mind. Those principles are free markets, limited government, individual liberty, and a peaceful foreign policy with people around the world. And we sort of think that these principles come from the founders in large part, and we try to apply these principles to analyzing every problem in public policy in the United States.
Amazing. Is it true that the Cato Institute was founded originally by the Koch brothers or something like that?
They were one of the original founders back in 1977. It was a bit before my time. Wow. Things have changed a lot since then, as far as I can understand. But I believe they were involved, yes.
I wanted to ask, is libertarians, are they liberal or conservative or just kind of in the middle?
So I think they're more in the middle, right? So on issues of like economics, on issues of taxes, on issues of regulation, of gun ownership, we're much more on the conservative side. So we side with Republicans, we side with conservatives on a lot of those issues. On social issues like gay marriage, drug legalization, and we're much more likely to side, and like foreign policy, we're more likely to side on with liberals, but maybe not on foreign policy. Liberals aren't really agree with us either. We're sort of, and on foreign policy, we're really like independent. We just are very skeptical of foreign interventions unless there's a clear national security threat against the United States. So I guess when you add all that stuff up, we're kind of like the new moderates.
So the libertarians kind of go both ways?
I would say so. I mean, you know, some of my colleagues.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's all right. I like puns. You know, some of my colleagues work exclusively with conservatives and Republicans. Others work exclusively with Democrats. And some of us make both of them mad all the time.
Amazing. And where do the Cato Institute stand when it comes to abortion? Or libertarian? Are they for abortion or against it?
So it's really one of those issues where it's mixed. A recent poll that I saw on the topic of abortion that was put up by, I believe it was Pew Research Center, found that it was about 60% of libertarians are pro-choice and 40% are pro-life. But this really goes like back and forth. I mean, I think personally abortion is probably one of the harder issues for libertarians to deal with, but you'll find every perspective on that. It's definitely not as like partisan as you know, as it is with the two political parties.
Where do you personally stand on abortion? Are you for it or against it?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to answer that. I just want to, you know, be clear. This is not my, you know, this is not the opinion of anybody else at my think tank or, you know, it's just my personal opinion, but I'm opposed.
You're opposed to abortion?
Yeah, I'm a personally a very pro-life. My wife and I are very pro-life personally.
Right on.
But that's not, you know, I just want to make clear that's not the, you know, the Cato Institute does not take a stand on this. Scholars here do not talk about it publicly, but that's just my personal belief.
Do they know you personally are not in favor or support of abortion?
We talk about it amongst our colleagues sometimes, you know, it's an internal debate, but we don't have a scholar who focuses on it. We don't really talk about it. And, you know, people here, it spans the spectrum of opinions on this topic. So we're able to have, you know, civil debate inside the building on it. And it's quite nice.
I was, as I was preparing to interview you today, to talk to you, I was looking at your site and I noticed in your name, where your name is, you have symbols at the beginning of your name, look like music symbols or a shout out or something. I don't know what it is. And I asked my producer, they didn't know, what does that mean? You have two, like, symbols at the beginning of your name and at the end?
You know, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. So, on Twitter, that...
It looked like parentheses or something like that, but it's on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a Twitter thing. Like, back in the day, like, 3 or 4 years ago, a lot... It's sort of a Nazi thing in the sense that a long time ago, people sort of used that to identify Jews on Twitter, sort of in a negative way. So a lot of us who have... I have Jewish ancestry. I don't practice or anything, but I have Jewish ancestry. And I decided to sort of, own it, to sort of put it back and push it back in people's faces, because I used to get a lot of anti-Semitic comments from people on Twitter in 2015, 16, 17, and still even today. So it's sort of a way of like owning the insult, I guess, and throwing it back in people's faces.
Amazing. I've noticed that there are a lot of hatred of the Jews now. And I can understand, people disagree with people. You just don't agree on everything. You have a right to speak up. You have a right to disagree. But why hate the Jews?
I have no idea, frankly. I mean, my on my mother's side, where my Jewish ancestry is from, they came from France in the late 19th century when there was a lot of anti-Semitism in France. And in that situation, the French people and the French government blamed Jews for being sort of like spies for the Germans. They were on the side of the Germans. This is like even before World War I. They were sort of like not a loyal group. And I think that there's this perception amongst some ignorant people that Jews are sort of like foreign and evil and just not to be trusted. And it's really sad and disgusting and something that, affected my family personally in the past, although certainly not in this country. And certainly not recently. But I think a part of it is just a fear of like people who are a little bit. I think there is a lot of fear and hatred of people who are a little bit different. And Jews have been a minority in basically every country in history except for two small periods. Now in Israel, in the biblical Israel.
I hear a lot. I don't know how true it is or not. But in America, they are saying one of the reasons that especially a lot of white young people hate the Jews. Blacks just hate everybody. But a lot of the young white people hate them because they say the Jews control everything, the media, the government. They want open borders. They want to destroy America by letting all these people in, but not Israel. Is that true or not? I really want to know, is that true?
No, not at all. Israel has very liberal immigration laws on two fronts. So there's two laws in Israel that are important to realize with immigration. One is the law of return, which basically says anybody who's Jewish ancestry or who's practicing Jew can go there to flee other places. And then secondly, they have a very large legal immigration system for non-Jews to work temporarily or permanently in Jewish industries. So one of the last intifadas, I believe it was the one in 2005, 2006, the first person killed on the Israeli side was a Thai guest worker who was working in Israel legally. So, I mean, it's just an internet myth. I mean, it's simply not true.
Do they want open borders in our country?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for, every Jew, and they're not, right. They're not a homogeneous group like anything.
Right.
I have opinions amongst Jews that differ. I have Jewish friends who are very conservative. Republicans love President Trump. I have Jewish friends who are very liberal, hate President Trump. I have Jewish friends who are libertarians and have mixed feelings about him, right?
Alice, so, I try to tell them that. You have human beings. You have Jews on the right and Jews on the left, just like you have all other races. There's other races on the right and others on the left, but they don't see it that way.
Absolutely. And people do the same thing when they talk about Black people, when they talk about white people, when they talk about Hispanics. I do think it's more pernicious, though, when people talk about it with the Jews. I think there's sort of more ill intent that people imply there, and it's too bad. It's sort of a bad part, I think, about modern political debate is people focus on identities rather than arguments.
I think that it's the same thing as the Blacks hating the whites. Most Black people hate white people. And I know that that's ill intent. So when I hear races hated other races of people, the whites, you know, young, some of the young white males hated the Jews, it reminds me of how bad most black people hate the whites here in this country and around the world. And I try to get them to understand you could disagree, but you can't hate, because when you hate, it comes back and destroys you. It doesn't unite, it divides even more so. And so it just reminds me, does it remind you of the blacks hating the whites and the whites hate the Jews and the Jews hate the whomever they hate? Does it remind you of the blacks hating the whites?
No, I mean, I don't have any experience with that. Not really my bailiwick, you know, not really the thing that I work on or study.
So you're not aware that the blacks, most black people hate white people?
No.
Why are you not aware? Are you living in the United States?
Yeah, I live in Virginia. I work in Washington, D.C. I mean,
how do you not see that then?
I don't. Judging on my personal interactions with people day to day, strangers, people in businesses, etc., I have nothing but great interactions with people. Like, I've noticed over time, this country seems to be even more polite than when I was younger.
Why is it that it's easy for you to see that the whites are hating the Jews, but you can't see something that's so obvious that, well, not all whites, of course, but some whites hate it?
I think it's a small number of people.
But why can't you see that the blacks hate the whites?
Well, I'm sure a small number of them do, but I don't by any means say it's a majority. And I think it's quite unfair to paint like such a broad picture, such a large group of people where you have like every opinion represented amongst them. I don't know of any evidence about that. I don't know of any survey data, and it certainly isn't consistent with my experience.
Believe me, take it from me. Most black people, I may not know my flowers, but I know black people, and most black people hate whites. And I grew up on a plantation, Alice, down in Alabama under the Jim Crow laws. And while growing up, it wasn't that way at all. Black people got married. They worked hard. They taught us to work. Our parents taught us to work. They knew that there was good and evil between all races. All white people are not like that. They knew that the Jim Crow was from the Democrats, because most black people were Republican. And so it wasn't about the hate. It was about love. And nowadays in the black community, it's about hate and not love.
Well, that's something I'm not familiar with on the evidence. But I'll say, if I can put in a small personal story, my father, who was born in the U.S., but his parents are both Iranian. Every once in a while, he lives in Los Angeles. And once after 9/11, because he looks very Middle Eastern, he got stopped a couple times by the police and had to go down to the police station. And I asked him, like, aren't you mad about this? Aren't you mad that they're infringing on your rights or asking you all these questions? And he goes, no, it bothers him, of course, but he doesn't think about it, because if you think about it and you hate these people for what they do to you, then they win.
That's right. He's right about that.
And I think that that's a good lesson for everybody, regardless of their race.
I noticed with most blacks, not all, but they don't want to do the right thing nowadays. The last 70 years, they've been spoiled, demoralized, and corrupt. And they don't want to. They'd rather have hate. Like, they'd rather hate the cop rather than appreciating the cop looking out for them, right? And because blacks have not raised their children in the right way to go, they're very angry and they're very violent. And so when they're stopped by the cops, they don't obey the cops. So the cops got to do something to protect themselves. And instead of the blacks saying, you know what, I understand why the cop did it. I didn't raise my child in the right way. They'll blame the cop rather than correcting themselves, self-correction. Have you noticed that?
I think that there's a lot of blame to go around with a lot of people. I mean, one of the things that I've been shocked about over the last 5 or 6 years is the number of, like, these videos where police officers unreasonably talk to people, unreasonably deal with them. And I've been sort of shocked by this over the last several years. So I think there are some real issues, though, in the criminal justice system. But I think some of the reactions are also inappropriate. But I think, you know, reasonable people can agree that there are probably some issues with criminal justice. Police officers sometimes get off the hook for things that they shouldn't get off the hook for, like that fellow who was shot, I believe it was in Minneapolis, who had a concealed carry permit, who was followed police instructions and was still unfortunately targeted, unfortunately killed. I think that's bad. We can recognize that there are crime problems in the United States, but also recognize that it is the Constitution defends our individual rights.
But can you at least agree that most of these blacks who are stopped by these cops, I don't know about that story you just mentioned. I may have known about it but forgot. But can you at least agree that most of these blacks are acting out when they're stopped by the cop? They call them racist. The cops say, hold your hands up. They won't do that. Or let me see your license. They won't do that. They're bitching and carrying on. The cops have no other choice but to get rough with them because they got to look out for their lives. And especially knowing now that most black people hate whites and they hate cops.
I think the burden should be on the police officer to show that this is the correct action. I think that individual rights and individual liberty is more important than sort of obedience to authority. That's part of the great thing about this country.
But it's not,
there are justified killings and justified attacks by, you know, by police officers when they go after people. Absolutely, those are justified. But, you know, just saying things that are rude, I don't think gives license to a police officer to behave in what would be an unlawful
manner. But what are you supposed, and my last thing about that, what are you supposed to say when they're calling you racist, they call you names, they call you pink, they don't want to, they're resisting arrest, they're carrying on? I've never seen black people act so crazy before, Alex. What is it, the cop have to get tough with them in order to subdue them, to get them to calm down so the cops can do their job? Why not correct the blacks for overreacting or acting out rather than being on the cop? The cops are just doing their jobs.
They are, but the cops are also employees of the government. And what's one of the unique things about this government is that it is supposed to exist to protect individual rights. It is, you know, police officers have rights as well, of course, but they are employees and agents of the government, of the state, and the rights of the people they interact with are protected. They should be protected. And just being rude, saying things that are rude.
But they're dealing with rude people.
Officers, but it doesn't matter. Like, if you're rude to me, right? Like, I can't beat you up. I can't punish you if you say, like, you know, if you say something rude to me, right? Like, I can't. I shouldn't. That'd be wrong, I think. And I think we need to hold police officers to a high standard, too. We give them a lot of power. They have a lot of protections. They should be held to a high standard.
But then this is my last thing about this, Alex, because I want to ask you some more stuff. Are you saying it's okay for blacks to be rude and resist arrest and curse the cops out and call them racist and don't follow instruction? Are you saying it's okay for them to do that and the cops should just take it?
I think it's okay for anybody, regardless of their race, to stick up for their rights. And if they think that the order the cop is giving is unlawful, to ask the police officer to prove it. And for the police officer, the burden is on him to show that what he is doing is lawful and correct.
I disagree.
In the interest of society and for the law.
Their lives are at risk.
Right, but the cops exist to protect us. Do they not exist to protect themselves?
And yes, they are. They have to protect. They are real human beings. They have children. They have wives.
They are.
If some black person is acting all weird, right away, you got to think about your own life because you don't know. And so many black people have killed cops. Black people are four times as likely to be cop killers than any other race. So you got to keep your eye out. But I want to move on from that. I got to ask you. So you said you're not a practicing Jew. Are you an agnostic?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm agnostic. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means that I don't really subscribe to any religion. My wife was raised sort of moderately Christian, so we do Christmas and we do Easter and those holidays. I don't do any of the Jewish holidays or anything like that. But it means I don't really have any particular spiritual tie to anything. It's not really a part of my life.
Do you believe there is a God?
I go back and forth on that.
Oh, so you're not sure?
I'm not sure.
So sometimes you believe it, sometimes you don't?
Yeah, it's a personal issue, you know. I struggle with it a lot. It's a very hard one for me.
Do you love your earthly father?
Who's that?
Your dad.
Yes.
You love your dad?
Very much.
Are you close to him?
Yes.
Oh, well, I would examine that before it's too late, man. That's a very important, and you need to know for yourself. Someone shouldn't convince you of that. You really do need to know for yourself. So I got to ask you, what do you think of the great white hope?
President Donald Trump?
Yes, sir. How did you know he was the great white hope?
I heard you. I heard you on the show a few minutes ago. So you gave me a warning right there. I have mixed opinions on him, frankly.
And what are your mixed opinions?
So I guess I'll start with what I like. I like the fact of the domestic tax cuts on the income tax. I like the tax cuts. I like the fact that the growth of regulations has been slowed under his administration. So those are the two things that I very much appreciate. I like a lot of the Supreme Court picks. I think Gorsuch will end up being, I think, probably the finest person on the Supreme Court for the next generation. I think he's a wonderful justice. And I think a lot of the other lower court picks have been fantastic and phenomenal. So I'm going to give him a lot of credit on those issues. I don't think he's been so good on the issues of trade. I think tariffs are bad for the U.S. economy, bad for our growth. I think he's been pretty poor on the issue of immigration. And I think he has been, frankly, a little poor on the issue of guns and firearm ownership. I also am very disturbed by the deficit being as large as it is. The economy is doing very well, but the deficit, that means the deficit is going to be a lot higher when the economy, has a recession in the future at some point. So I'm very worried about the deficit. So as you can tell, it's a very mixed bag.
What's worse, taxes or tariffs?
Well, I mean, a tariff is a type of tax, right? And the tariff is just a tax on imported goods. It's paid by both Americans and by foreigners pay part of the tariff tax.
But they're ripping us off. They're making us pay more than they are paying to us. So shouldn't they pay? Shouldn't it be distributed equally, at least?
Well, no. I think, tariffs, if China has tariffs on their products, that also hurts China. It hurts America, but it also hurts China. So from my perspective, I don't see why we should put in tariffs that hurt us, because then they're hurting themselves as well. It's like in the same way, right? Like a lot of countries around the world have a higher income tax rate than the United States does. That's not a good reason for us to have a higher income tax rate at all.
Which is constitutional, tariffs or taxes?
Unfortunately, both are.
and why do you say that?
So in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it lists all the powers that Congress has. And one of those powers is to levy tariffs, to raise tariffs on foreign goods and imports. Now, Congress has given a lot of that power over to the president to tell him to do what he wants to do on it. So that's just unfortunately like the way it is. The 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution created the income tax, made it possible for Congress to pass an income tax. And then the Congress basically controls all of those rates.
So if tariffs are constitutional, shouldn't our government make sure that we are paying at least fairly or less than other countries than we are paying the other countries?
Yeah, and I think the way to do that is to get rid of all the tariffs, because the tariffs are paid by Americans and they're paid by foreigners. So like if there's a tariff on a washing machine, and you go and you buy a washing machine in the U.S. store, you pay a large part of that tax because the washing machines are more expensive. American washing machines become more expensive. Chinese washing machines become more expensive. And you as an American pay part of that. The Chinese pay part of it too. But I don't think it's fair that Americans who are working hard, who are saving money, who are trying to make it, should have to pay a higher tax and pay more for the goods and services we buy just because of some notion of fairness. I don't think that's right.
Should we get rid of the taxes first? Should we get rid of the taxes, or should we keep both taxes and tariffs?
So I'd like to get rid of as much of both as possible.
Yeah.
That's my answer. But that requires cutting spending a lot. We're going to have to cut a lot of spending in this country if we want
right.
to do that.
Yeah,
and I want to cut spending on everything from education to health and human services to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, the military, everything across the board. I want to cut spending on, And we need to do that. If we cut taxes and have a deficit as a result, all a deficit is a delayed tax increase.
Yeah.
They have to be paid for eventually. And that's a government deficit I'm talking about.
So, Ron, I mean, Alice, I know we ran out of time, but let me ask, are you for the wall going up around the borders?
No, I'm against the wall.
Why are you against the wall?
So there's a couple of reasons. One, it won't do anything to stop the current issue of the illegal immigrants coming in and asking for asylum. If you take a look at U.S. law, if you ask for asylum and you're outside the gate on U.S. soil, they have to let you in under U.S. law. So the current wall will do nothing at all to stop that. Furthermore, the majority of people who are coming into the United States, who are becoming like illegal immigrants, who are not asylum seekers, they're coming in legally and overstaying their visas. And a wall won't do anything to stop that. Furthermore, the wall will require taking a lot of private property from Americans who live along the border. We're talking about hundreds of miles worth of private property owned by by ranchers in Texas mainly. And I don't think the government should be in the business of taking people's property.
Are you against Israel having a wall? Israel has a wall.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion much on that issue.
Why not?
Of policies.
Why not?
I don't know too much about Israel's policies.
They have a wall. I've seen the wall. I've been there. I've seen the wall.
They also have a very different security situation along their borders. There's no Mexican terrorists in the United States, no Central American terrorists who have killed anybody in a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Israel has a very different security situation. They're not really comparable.
Amazing. So we have thousands and thousands of illegal aliens coming in from now 5 countries, I read, and they're bringing diseases and crimes and drugs and sucking the life out of our social system. And most of them are ending up in the black communities first. And in the black community, they're destroying their jobs and they're taking the jobs and the health care, and they're bringing gang members and running blacks out of their own communities. It's a real mess. I work in those communities. It's a real mess. Does it bother you that by not putting a wall up, not only are these people destroying our country, they're first destroying black people in a horrible way? Are you bothered by that?
Well, I dispute your interpretation of those events.
I'm telling you, I deal with it every day. I see it around the country. I know about it. It's real. And if it is real, are you bothered by it?
I would be bothered by it if it was real.
It's real.
Then why is black unemployment so low?
Because of the great white hope right now, but under the fall of Messiah, right. Obama, it wasn't like that.
But we have huge it's numbers not of that, immigrants coming in and working.
Alice, it's not that low now.
I said we have huge numbers right now, like large numbers of people coming in, and black unemployment still collapses. Central Americans who are coming here have a higher rate of vaccination than native-born Americans. They're less likely to commit violent and property crimes, according to all the estimates that we have. They're less likely to use welfare and take these benefits.
But you're not right. Alice, you were doing just fine with me until you... That's not true what you're saying. I'm black. I live in America. I work in America. I've been here for a long time. And what you're saying is not true. More blacks are working under the Great White Hope, that's for sure, than they did under any other president. But these illegal aliens are destroying the black community. My final question is, why is it easier, and not just you, I've had several guests on, why is it easier to be honest about the destruction that white people causes, but not the destruction of black people and what they cause? Why is it like that?
Well, there's simply not any evidence that immigrants are making things worse for black or white.
Why is there not evidence? It's everywhere.
Well, then why is the unemployment rate for blacks so low?
Why is the unemployment rate so low?
For blacks, yeah. Why do they have the lowest unemployment rate in a long time if illegal immigrants are so bad?
Because of the Great White Hope. Because of the president.
Right. So then what are you complaining about? Like, we have some great economic opportunities and lots of immigrants coming in.
But they're still ending up in the black community. They're taking the jobs. They hate the blacks. blacks hate them. They're fighting every day, Alice, in Los Angeles public school system. There are fights between the black kids, American kids, and the Mexican kids, because the black kids are being pushed out and they don't like it, and nobody would do anything about it. Why don't people care about the blacks?
Well, you know, when I'm with the school in Los Angeles, I grew up in L.A. in Ventura County. When I'm with the school, people had fights, too.
But not about like this.
Lots of times, man. I mean, this is something that's been going on forever. The same complaints were made against the Irish when they came, about the Italians when they came, about the Russian immigrants. Every single immigrant group has been faced with the same criticisms, and they've been wrong. The critics have been wrong every single time. And I think the critics are wrong with these new Americans as well, and these people who are coming here, whether they're legal or illegal, that the evidence does not support your negative interpretation. You got to be more optimistic about the future, man. These people are doing well in this country. Their kids are doing well.
No, Alice. Well, Alice,
it's a great thing.
That's nice to say, but that's not reality. Blacks have been overtaken by these illegals coming into the country, and now we have all kind of diseases and homelessness, and it's a real mess. And I think the reason most of the so-called experts won't say anything, because the black Democrats are godless people, and they won't say anything because they're there for the power and the wealth. And I have this feeling that it's easier to speak up against white people than it is against blacks, because you'll be called racist if you told the truth about blacks. But if everybody attacked the white people, nobody cares.
I think the more likely answer is that immigrants and illegal immigrants are not causing the problems that you think. They're less likely to be sick than native-born Americans.
They're bringing in the diseases.
They're less likely to be homeless. They're more likely to be vaccinated than native-born Americans are. These are things that are easily, I mean, you can easily look them up. The government and the private organizations have enormous amount of data on these issues.
Amazing.
If this was true, I would agree. I would like to agree with you.
Well, come to L.A. I'll show you around. You haven't been to L.A. lately, right?
I've been to L.A. I come to L.A. at least twice a year. And my family still lives in L.A. I grew up in Los Angeles.
Well, come to L.A. and I'll show you around. You'll have a change of heart.
L.A. is a lot safer than it was 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
What do you think?
When there were a lot fewer immigrants, a lot safer. Just look at the crime rate, man.
Last question. Do you agree with me that white, straight, conservative Christian men of power, especially those of power, but all of them, really, are the most hated species on this side of heaven?
I don't know if they're the most hated, but there is certainly a lot of hate for them, yeah.
And why is the hate there? It's not justified. It shouldn't be that way. This is a white country. It was built, founded, and built by white people. And so the white people made the mistake of letting the people of color come in, and now the illegal is alien. And these people are coming into white countries and hating them. Does that make sense?
I don't think that it was a mistake to let in, you know, my ancestors from the Middle East, and I don't think it was a mistake to let in blacks from the Caribbean.
But the blacks hate them.
I don't think that that was a mistake, and I think you're way too pessimistic about the state of this country and the state of these race relations. Things are going well in the United States. I just think the pessimism that you're talking about is very unwarranted, given the current state of affairs. This country is rich. The unemployment rate is low. Crime is low and falling, has been for a very long time. We need to be less pessimistic and see the facts for what they are. And I think be more.
I like dealing with reality. I don't like the illusion of life.
Reality, man.
I'm sorry?
I'm telling you the reality. Like, when I was a kid, you were much more likely to be murdered in the United States than you are today. Much more likely to be the victim of a crime than you are today.
But if you're white, if you're white, you're much likely to be killed by a black than you are by another white. That's reality.
But you're still much less likely to be murdered in general than in the relatively recent past.
Are you a globalist?
I think that global capitalism is a good thing.
Are you a globalist?
What does that mean? What do you mean exactly?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by globalist?
Do you think, like, we're all just one and... I think I read in your bio that you were a globalist. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that's part of a joke, a Twitter joke. So it also says that I call myself an elitist in my Twitter bio, and then it also says that all my tweets are peer-reviewed, which is also a joke.
So all those... You were just joking about being a globalist.
Well, I like global capitalism. I don't like global government.
Do you like putting America first?
Yeah, and we're put first by free trade and having more legal immigration in the United States. That is good for us.
Alice, you have any information you'd like to give out? How can people reach you or get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can read my work on the Cato website. That's cato.org. Or you can follow me on Twitter. My name is at Alex Narasta. That's AlexNowRasteh.
Alex, thank you so much, man. I totally enjoyed talking to you.
I had a great time, too. Thanks a lot for having me.
When you come to L.A., come see me, and I'll treat you. I'll take you around and show you what the illegal is doing to the blacks.
I will, and then we'll go down to, my dad went to USC in the 70s.
Yeah.
Let's compare Watts in the 70s to today. How about that?
I would love that. Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Amazing. And don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe, and share the Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show, folks. We really appreciate it. We are at war. It is a spiritual battle for the soul of America. And it's going to take all of us to do it.